Hello, podcasters. Back on for another episode today. I've actually got a guest on today, so you don't have to just listen to me rambling on my own. Again, I've got a guest in, Stephen Tough. He and I have been talking about doing an episode like this for a while, so it really is just a little bit of banter between he and I going over, I guess, some goings-on in the moto world, motocross, off-road, etc. So I hope you get a bit of a chuckle out of it. Hope you enjoy it. I have got some other guests lined up to come in on the podcast in the coming weeks, so look forward to them, and I will see you on the next episode.
Welcome back onto the podcast, none other than Stephen Tough for the first episode of Tough Talk.
Benny, mate, how good is this? I've been frothing for a bit of this. It's about time we got it happening.
It is, mate. It's good to have you back on. How have you been?
Yeah, really good, mate. Bit of a rough winter. Just never ending sort of I didn't get the flu this year, but my wife and son did, and it really just rolled them. And but then we all sort of had coughs and then little injuries and just didn't quite get on top of things. It's only just starting to get back into the swing of things now. It was a bit of a grind winter, but I did manage to do a bit of riding, so it wasn't all bad.
Yeah, nice. I see you've been getting out with the little fella on the peewee a bit.
Yeah, mate. It's his thing. It's such a weird thing being a moto dad, hey? Like, I resisted it for a long time. He was just naturally attracted to bikes. I never pushed him into it, and he just froths for it. Like, any chance he gets, that's what he wants to do. And it's, I don't know, man. It's my fault. It's in his blood. But, I'm relaxing with it a bit more now, although he gets a little bit of whiskey because kids are kids. They just do kid things, and your heart's in your mouth half the time, but he loves it, mate. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they do seem to bounce, the little guys.
how did you go, though? Like, you know, you've been there, you've done it all, and you know it's coming, but how do you deal with your wife dealing with that?
She basically doesn't come, man. Like, she doesn't. Right. We just go riding on our own. Darcy's only actually done one proper race, which was the Glenmore race this year.
Yeah, right.
Bon was there for that.
Yep.
And he actually coped with that pretty good. But as a rule, we just go riding on our own. But that is the, like, Bon is, like, I guess I'm a little bit blasé with it. No, you'll be right. Like, at the end of the day, but Bon does. She definitely stresses about that for sure. But I'm the same, and I'm just not pushing him into it. He loves it, but I don't want to be that moto dad that I'm super excited for him to start racing and that. But as long as he wants to start racing and wants to do it, like, I don't want to force him to actually do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's also a really great thing to make him behave. I've found I use it as a bribing tool all the time. Like, you got to do all your chores, you got to do this and help me do that. Yeah, dad, no worries. Like, it just means that much to him. So it's definitely something healthy for him to do. So anyway, enough of that. Mate, let's rip into this.
Sounds good. We're going to do hits and misses. So we're just going to talk a bit of trash about the goings on today. It's going to be moto stuff, moto related.
Yeah.
So we'll start off with some big hits.
Mate, well, the biggest hit undoubtedly is what the Lawrence boys have done over in the States. And yet, mate, this has really pissed me off. And I was labelled by my friends as un-Australian because I didn't jump up and down and paint myself in green and gold for the Matildas. They finished fourth. The Prime Minister was going to give us a day off. What a moron. And then you got Jet in his rookie season in the Premier class. Not only does he win the championship before the championship is over, he goes undefeated. He could buy the Matildas.
He could.
With his prize money, let alone what his contract was worth. Let's get real, people. These boys are Aussie heroes, and that's all I've got to say about that.
It's true, mate. It is pretty amazing what they've done.
Mate.
And And like you say, a complete lack of coverage by the Australian media.
Yeah, well, I actually, in a moment of frustration, jumped on Instagram and tagged in the Prime Minister, the Leader of the Opposition, the Premier of Queensland, and pretty much every sports reporter I could think of. And Lucas Myrtle actually got back to me, which was...
Really?
Yeah, he did. He was the only one, of course. But he got back to me. So for guys that don't know, he's the manager of Jet and Hunter Lawrence, who is also earned himself a bit of a legend status now. Yeah, he got back to me and he said it's happening. And there has been one interview that I'm aware of on the Today program on Channel 9. But I do believe from what Lucas has hinted at, there's something big coming, which is great because these boys do deserve mainstream media, and good luck to them. The funniest thing, and I know it's not about this, but the question keeps coming to me is how much money did they make this year? And you can't help but wonder, because remember that year when Chad Reed was on the Australian highest earnings athletes list? And I'm pretty sure he came in at 20 mil that year. Yeah. What was that, 2006?
Yeah.
Maybe?
About, yeah.
Yeah, well, we're a fair way down the track now, so I don't know.
Inflation's played its part.
Throw a dart, everyone, but it's got to be north of 30. Maybe it's 40. Who knows? I mean, those kids are driving some pretty sick cars over there. Good luck to them. They've earned every cent.
Oh, they have, man. Yeah, it's a good question, actually. Like, I think a lot of people, a lot of reports say that, like, the dollars have gone backwards for a lot of those guys, but... You would have to think at their level with what they've achieved, just even the bonuses from like going winning every single race, like the bonuses alone would be pretty huge.
Yeah. And would you have the foresight to put in your contract, if I go undefeated, I get an extra lick? Like, I don't know, someone like Myrtle's probably smart enough to do that, but I wouldn't have even thought of that because to me it's unfathomable. Like, and that's what makes his win so much more special. Like, yeah, those guys are rad. And the trash talk, I don't know if you've delved into any of it about Jet. They said, he hasn't had any competition, that's why he won. That's right, dickhead. He hasn't. They weren't good enough.
Yeah.
You can only beat the people that show up.
Yeah. Oh, he was a cut above him in motocross for sure. I'm interested to see how it goes in supercross. I think it's... Like, I'm not saying that he's going to get beat by any means, but I think it'll be a lot closer because, like, obviously, like, you make one little mistake in Supercross and, like, that can be your race done. So I reckon we'll see some closer racing, maybe not this weekend, but, like, next season when they're all sort of back up to 100%. It's going to be cool. I think it'll be some good racing.
Yeah, mate, I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, traditionally I'm more of a moto fan than a supercross fan, but round one of AMAs, I always get pretty amped up and can't wait for the gate to drop. So, yeah, I'm the same, mate. It'll be cool to see what happens. And Hunter, like, I don't want to, you know, go past his achievements. He did it a bit harder. He was nursing injuries and more than we know, and he had a bike failure as well, and he still come through with the chocolate. So bloody hard fought championship for him, mate.
Yeah, 100%, definitely. It's probably like the 250 class was probably more competitive this year than the 450 class.
Yeah, it's red hot, and those guys, man, they are going for broke. Like, it's gnarly. I would love to get back over there to watch another outdoor round because it's, man, it's so cool. Everything is just amplified, and yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. And do you see yesterday they announced the Des Nations team? So the Lawrence boys, mate. And Ferris, it's a pretty good exciting dream team.
Yeah. Oh, isn't it? What? This conversation was kicking around the pits probably about a month ago that I was getting, and they're like, oh, who's it going to be? And the obvious first two choices was Jet and Hunter, but who was going to fill that third seat?
Yeah.
And, well, now we know Dean Ferris has got it, and you know what? He deserves it.
I would say he's got to be the pick for sure.
Yep, he's tough. He's seasoned. He knows what he's doing. And you know what? Like, I know he's won four championships. He's retired twice, but he's still not old. Look what he did this year. I'm rapt for the guy. And we're, like, on the news this morning, everyone's crapping on about the Rugby World Cup and how we're going to go. How are we going to go in France at the Motocross of Nations? Far out. Oh, mate, this is pretty epic. We are at the top elite level, and we stand every chance of taking home that trophy for the first time.
100%. It's got to be our best chance yet, you would think.
Yeah. Just on Ferris, mate, you got to cover some Pro MX news here.
Well, yeah, I was going to say he's another big hit for 2023.
Massive hit. And on paper, people might want to argue this, but he won the Pro MX Championship, the 450 class, as a privateer.
Yeah, 100%.
He put this team together. Yeah, he had the backing of Yamaha, but essentially he did it as a privateer.
Yeah.
So fair play to him. It's awesome to retire, come back, and then wipe the floor with everyone with the backing of a factory team. Ferris is he's a savvy operator, so no doubt he would have cleaned out Yamaha's bonus structure, I'm sure of it. And good on him. What a legend.
Oh, totally, man. I take my hat off to him for sure. I reckon it's got to be the blue bike, man.
You would say that. No doubt the blue bikes are good, but a big miss for this year and out of character is the CDR Monster Energy Yamaha team not taking home the title. I mean, those guys have got an incredible success win-loss ratio as far as championships go in Australia. And for them to be beaten by a former team member who is essentially doing it on his own, that would have hurt. Craig Dack is probably the most competitive person on and off the track. And
absolutely. Yeah,
that one would have stung for those guys. I mean, they're two top caliber riders, the best, arguably the best team in the paddock, and then Ferris comes through and wipes them. Yeah.
But like Tanny put up a fairly good battle. Like I think Ferris also DNF'd that round at Wodonga, didn't he? One of the races.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did, yeah.
And so did Tandy. So that was probably an even split in terms of DNFs.
Yeah.
And, like, Ferris just straight up beat him, really. But he wasn't, I wouldn't say he was disgraced by any means. Like, he won a couple of motos.
Oh, for sure. No, far from, I'm definitely not having a dig. I'm just saying for a team that has such high standards and such a winning ways, you would kind of expect that if they were going to be beaten, it would have been by, well, Jed beaten, I guess. He was the one everyone was looking at, and he's probably another noticeable what we'd call as a miss for this year because, you know, coming from World Motocross Grand Prix racing to Australia and, he couldn't get the job done for whatever reason.
Yeah, 100%, man. But, like, I don't – like, you would think racing MXGP, but you think, like, just – you think the level there is a lot better than what we would have here. So just that alone, you think he would come back and it'd be a pretty easy sort of win for him over here, but –
it's probably easy to assume that, but that said, like the top, what would you say? Like the top five, I guess, of our guys here, they're pretty bloody good, man.
Like, oh, well, that's what I mean. That's what it sort of proves that, doesn't it? That our, like,
absolutely, it does. Yep.
Like, that's what I mean. Like, people would think that our guys or our level of racing isn't as good as MXGP or as good as AMA, but when you see that, like, he come back, you would think he should dominate, but he didn't. Like, he got tailed up, like, straight up. So it just shows that our level here in Australia is, like, pretty fucking good.
My word, it is. Speaking of good, how good was the performance at the final round by Kyle Webster in the sand? I mean, we all know he's a sand specialist, but... Yeah. Mate, they didn't even give him hardly any TV time. The camera was back on bloody second, third, and fourth. He was that far in front. I don't think they even knew that he was the winner. That was a clinic in how to race sand. And that guy, what he had a DNF at Albury as well, and then he binned it at Appin, I think it was.
Yeah, one of those rounds, yeah.
If that guy can keep it on two wheels and keep his bike running, look out. And yeah, well, I even heard him say, you know, if he can touch up his hard pack riding.
Yeah.
Man, that dude is fast. And he made it look easy. He really did.
Oh, for sure, man. I feel like if those more sort of junior tracks like Maitland and those, when they're tight, like tight hard pack tracks are not going to suit like him. Whereas if we can get more of the bigger like Gum Valley that they had last year, those type of tracks where they're faster. Like a proper motocross track, I feel like he's going to be faster than a tight hard pack track.
And I don't know how the calendar's going to work, but get that dude to Southwick.
Yeah, we need to.
Get him sure. there. Yeah. Get him there because, mate, he is going to hold his own.
100% Southwick, and we need to get him at Hatter.
Yeah, oh, mate, could you imagine? You know what? He did ride the Golden Beach 6 hour this year.
Yeah, I saw that with Gus.
And won it.
Yeah.
I mean, we know it's sandy and it gets rough down there, but, yeah, apparently they won it by about 2 or 3 days. It was insane. There was a pretty hot list down there. Club for what's essentially a big club day, that was red hot.
100%, man, for sure. Well, you think, like, if they're obviously any of those dudes that race Pro MX, I don't think the would be at Hatter. It's more the mental side, I think, is the difference for them. How to charge hard for this, but then they'd have the fitness to go for 4 hours. But as you know, it's all going for 4 hours and being able to maintain a decent pace for 4 hours.
Yeah, and not only to fry your clutch you know, ask too much of your bike too soon. It's a bloody big ask, not only on the rider, but you got to get your bike there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the Honda, man.
Oh, Ben. All right.
It's a shot when you can get it.
I've got two Hondas in my cup, pal. You've ridden one of them. Pretend like you didn't like it.
I love it. You know what would be cool? We should ride that thing at Hatter.
Oh, when you say we, you mean you.
That'd be epic.
That would be epic. What would be epic? I'd love to see Kyle on it. We're talking about my Honda CR500 for those that haven't worked it out yet. It's a pretty cool bike. Everyone loves a two-stroke, but those things are they're the king of the road when it comes to riding in the dirt. And, they're still pretty cool fun.
Oh, totally, man. It'd be really good fun around that track.
Mate, enough of that. Let's get to the good stuff.
What's next on the list?
Well, I want to head off-road because that's where we belong.
100%.
Us grubby off-road riders.
Yeah, that's exactly. Where the real action happens.
It's where the tough dudes hang out. So Australian Off-Road Championship, that's the premier series or championship for racing off-road in Australia at the moment. It's going through a bit of a rough spot. So we're almost mid-September now, and we've only had 3 weekends of racing of that championship. One had to be postponed and it ultimately cancelled. And although there hasn't been that much action for racing-wise, the series has actually been really interesting to watch because the defending champion, Corin Bacon, after the first round, he was injured.
Yeah.
Which left the door open for his teammate, the shop Yamaha rider, Josh Green. Now, Greeny's been around forever. He's a hard man of the sport. He's consistent. He's always there, but he's never managed to take home the chocolates because he's never seemed to just have that extra bit that it takes to win the championship. As it stands, Greeny's in the hot seat.
Talking about the outright here.
The outright here, yeah. Yep, sure, there's three main classes.
Yeah.
We know that, different capacities, but everyone likes to talk about the outright because the outright winner is the best of the best.
100%, yeah.
As it stands, this year, it's Greenies Championship to lose.
It is right now after Jonty had a DNF last weekend. That's
yeah,
a big dint in his
point. So this championship's evolved in a funny way. So Greenie actually came out winning, swinging at the first round and won it outright. Then yeah. The next day, his teammate won it. Then the next one, Greenie won it. And in those first three rounds, Sherko, the Motul Pirelli Sherko rider, Jonty Reinders, he was nowhere.
He struggled in the sand at Manduran.
Yeah, he did. And then he got toweled up at the opening race at QMP. There was a major dust issue there, and it wasn't a cross-country. They were sprints. So then the second day, the organisers tried to work around that, and they gave the riders more space so they didn't have to race in dust. And Jonty just came out of nowhere, like he'd been hiding in the bushes for the first three rounds, and come out and won outright. And everyone sort of sat up and went, hello, what's going on here? Yeah. Then Greenie managed to injure himself. He had a big buster. And then so luckily for him, in that sort of mid-section of the year, there was no racing, which was fortunate for him because he had the opportunity to try and get healthy. The next round comes out, Andy Wilkes. Is it Motorex KTM? I think they're still called that. Or he's the main KTM off-road racer in Australia. Yeah. He comes out and takes the outright win. So then all of a sudden, hello, what's going on? He's taken precious championship points. And then Greenie came out and won the next day. And the round that Andy won, Jonty had a mechanical failure.
Yes.
So he's out of the picture, right?
Yeah.
Bacon's out of the picture. Greenie is in the hot seat right now. And little did we know, he injured himself again. I think it was a hand or a thumb injury. So, mate, it's his. He can almost smell it.
Well, you would think so. He's got like all he's got to do, like he's just got to ride it in, really. If he gets third place at the last four rounds, he'll towel it up.
Yeah. So be interesting to watch because Bacon's back. Jonty will be trying to salvage whatever he can because the kid's riding well. He won the 4 day. By the narrowest of margins, but he made it happen, and he's announced that he is now a real contender on his day. And if he can bring in a bit more consistency to his game, he'll be that guy at every round that everyone's going to try have to beat.
Yeah, I would say so for sure. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. You would think Jonty will come out swinging at the last four. That's all he can do, and just hope, like pray to God that Greenie has a mechanical.
Yeah, mate. Like,
anything
can happen. And racing is crazy, and sometimes it is a cruel sport. There's a saying that you never see an unlucky winner, but hey, this is what's kept this championship exciting this year, because otherwise, as a series, it's pretty bloody dull. It's losing its zing. It really needs a big injection of enthusiasm from the top down. MA needs to jump on this, especially now that the GNCC, the Grand National Cross Country Series, is up and running. We've had our first event in Australia next year. I've got no doubt it's going to be a lot bigger and better because every single report that I have had from that event has been up and about. It was awesome by all accounts.
Yeah, we've had pretty good feedback, man. It was everyone that was there on the ground, definitely positive feedback. So yeah, that would be the goal for sure next year, is to expand on that.
Mate, and it'll work. And you know why? It's going to be the same recipe as Hatter. I remember going to Hatter when it was not much more than a big club day. And now it's arguably the second biggest event on the Aussie calendar. And the reason is because people are racing each other. So everyone understands it. And this is where ORC misses the mark. And there's still a place for sprint races where you're racing against the clock. There's absolutely a place for that. But generally, people don't get it. They don't understand it. There's just so much more appeal to a cross-country race because you're seeing people race each other. And that is going to be one of the main reasons why the GNCC series is going to succeed. That's what I think.
Oh, I totally agree, man, because it is. It's just a different format of racing. It's a different experience for the weekend. So I think that's the best thing AORC can do is draw their line in the sand and say, like, every round is a cross country on Saturday and a sprint on Sunday. Like, they're the best rounds that they do have. And like we were talking off air, like, it's a real shame that that Vic off-road round got canned, because the Vic rounds are always one of the best rounds. So, and they always run across country on the Saturday. So,
well, mate, that's probably an interesting point, and in some ways a sad state of affairs that the premier off-road racing championship in Australia right now is the Victorian Off-Road Championship. That's a testament, full props to the guys that run the Vic Off-Road Champs, because it's awesome.
Yeah.
But it's a state championship.
Exactly. It is a very sad state. And when you look at that and you compare that to our national championship, like, something has to change. Like looking back, like, when Strangy was racing AORC, like, it hasn't changed, man, since then.
It hasn't changed. Well, to be honest, I think it has, and I think it's regressed.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, it's gone backwards since then. Like, it hasn't grown with the times and evolved to what should be a premier race, like, in 2023.
Well, you've got to say that was Phil Sargent's era. He was running the Australian Off-Road Championship, obviously with assistance from Motorcycling Australia. Plenty of people whinged about it back then, but it was early days. The first year was 2005. That year Strangy raced was 2006.
Yeah.
It was, everyone wanted to be a part of it. Sarge ran a great show. And then when he retired from that and didn't want to run the series anymore because of the challenges that were in front of him, it rested on MA. And then they just sort of crawled into their shell and went, oh, what are we going to do? And piggyback off state championship rounds. There needs to be one promoter so that there's someone to maintain the standards of that championship. If you haven't got someone doing that, like we've all seen over the years, it's a bit of a mismatch. And if that's the best MA can do, then that's pretty sad. But from their perspective, they're probably saying it's pretty good because they've produced a GNCC champion, Strangy.
Yeah.
An Enduro World Champion in Phillips, an Enduro World Champion in Rupert. Toby, is it Price? Is a product of AORC? Yeah. Who have I missed, mate?
Milner.
I may have missed Chucky. Milner and Chucky. I mean, they've both won 6-day Enduros outright. So they're all products of the AORC. So our standard of building riders has been very, very good, but we're seeing a pretty big low at the moment.
I would agree. And like all those names we listed, like they came through when it was at its prime.
Yes. Yeah.
It hasn't, like we just said, if anything, it's gone backwards since then. It hasn't evolved and progressed in the way that it needs to. So that, I think that the move is they need to move away from the state rounds. It needs to be a national championship. You go to that race because it is the AORC, not because you're doing your state round as well.
Yep.
It needs
Agreed.
To be a separate event.
But what's good about this, though, mate, is through all these down times and these opportunities is where something like the GNCC series has come from. And that thing's got legs. Watch this space. I can't wait for next year. Fingers crossed I can get to if not all of the rounds, some of them.
Yeah. We might throw in a industry class for you, mate. You can saddle up on the big CR.
I don't think any of those pussy reporters from those other outlets would dare show up, mate. I'm going to win this. Watch out. Oh, unless Braco shows up, but he should be banned because he's actually won national titles before, so he's not allowed to enter.
That's a sandbagger for sure.
That's right. I'm calling you all out, you pussies. Let's go.
What's next on the list?
Mate, what's going on with the World Supercross Championship?
Good question. Honestly, I don't
is
know.
Is it on or what? Like, I'm starting to hear a bit of the three-round Australian Championship is starting to spool up because they're trying to sell tickets and whatever, and that's cool. But as far as the World SX goes, like, is that, I should know this. I don't know what's going on. Is it on or is it off?
Well, they're selling tickets for Melbourne.
Right.
And I saw they put out a little media release, I think it was nearly 2 weeks ago now, that they were going to put out a proper media release that would quell the rumours that it was getting canned and blah, blah, blah. And I haven't heard anything since then.
The last thing I heard was that they announced the round in Singapore, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But since then, it's like the fires have gone out. I don't know what's going on.
Hmm. It's a little bit of a worry for sure, because I'd love to see it succeed.
Yeah, me too, mate. I mean, you know, it bit off a massive chunk to try and make that happen because of the money. Like, you need money to make this happen. That's what makes the world go around. And when you're competing against a giant like the AMA, you're punching above your weight. But geez, I hope they get it happening. And I really like the way they were looking towards Asia. Massive population of people that do get it. I hope it happens. But the news has been a bit thin on the ground. So watch this space on that one.
Yeah,
mate. Will Rupert, I just read yesterday that he's injured again. So after winning a World Enduro Championship last year, this year's just been a write-off for him. Got injured at pre-season. It's a long road for him to get up to speed, and he really just started to hit his straps again, and now he's hurt again. Won't finish the season.
Yeah, that's a tough one, especially this close to they've just had their summer break and about to come into these last couple of rounds, so that'd be definitely a tough one to take.
Yeah, pretty much just a write-off year for him. And, I mean, he's such a good dude. He's still just that same humble Aussie that we all knew from when he was back here. But he's one of the most determined, serious people about his jobs that I've ever met. And I only wish the best for him. So I hope he can bounce back from this and bloody come out next year and give him a bit of what for.
Yeah, totally. You'd think that was his first year on the Sherco this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, yep.
He'd be on a 2-year deal, wouldn't he? You would think.
It was, yeah, that's what it was announced as, a 2-year deal.
Yeah. Hopefully he can rebound next year.
Yeah, and I mean, they're one of the premier teams in the paddock over there, so I'm sure that they'll want him to do well. And they'll be doing everything they can to help him, surely. So, yeah, I feel sorry for him. It sucks. Especially when you've come off such a high, you've spent your whole life reaching that point, and then the next year fate has pulled the plug.
Yeah,
That's sucks.
It's the way it can go in this sport,
mate. That elite level of Enduro World Championship racing, I haven't been over there to see it, but it must be like insanely crazy how hard those top boys are pushing, because, and no disrespect whatsoever to Daniel Milner, he's been over there for 2 years now. The first year, okay, he was probably up against it on a small team with a bike that wasn't at the standard of the others, but this year he jumped on the TM where Will Rupert had all of his success last year, and it just hasn't worked for him. It hasn't clicked. It's just, you look at some of the posts he puts up on the tracks and the conditions they ride in, like, it's gnarly. It's crazy. And how hard those top sort of five, six dudes, they're hanging it out every step of the way. It's nuts.
It is, man. It's a lot. It's borderline, like, you, the stuff they ride in that you get to see, it's like, borderline hard enduro, what you would see here in a grassroots event.
Oh, ballistic. Yeah. And but they're just going warp speed.
Oh, totally. Yeah. They're just sending it through there. Yeah.
And it's all or nothing. And wow, unbelievable. But I mean, when you look at the how much Milner dominated here in Australia, and then to go over there and you know, to be scratching around the tail end of the top 10 outright, you just, wow.
Yeah.
Those boys are nuts.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty sure he's struggled with bike setup, man, from what I can gather, but
right,
it would be real interesting to see him on a KDM over there. Like, obviously, he spent most of his time, he's comfortable as he would ever be on a Kato. So, which that, like, honestly, that blew me away that they couldn't get him some sort of support over there. Like, obviously, they've got their world champions that they've got to have on their team, but I would think riding for them that long here in Australia, and he was going to race the world championship, that he'd be able to hook up something on a Kato, but obviously couldn't make it happen.
Yeah, mate, that whole company, as in that group with Husqvarna, GasGas, KTM, they seem to have, over the last few years, really tightened up and put all their eggs in a lot smaller baskets. So there's no trickle down, which is it's actually had a big effect on the industry here in Australia. It has, I can see it, and I think that's perhaps one of the reasons why the off road scene is struggling. I think a lot of dudes probably expected too much for where they were at,
and then it's
just not happening. And the cold hard reality is that, you know, racing dirt bikes costs a lot of money, and that money has to come from somewhere. And you've got to try and justify why someone is spending that money on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough. Speaking of tough, Strangy. Josh Strang.
Strangy,
mate. He's a GNCC champ. He's one of the toughest units around. He's still a competitor. He came out here during the American summer break with full intentions of racing a GNCC, an AORC, couldn't quite get him to Hatter for whatever reason. And then with races being cancelled, he never got to fire a shot. It was, I was spewing to see him not in action on Aussie soil again.
Yeah, totally, man. It would be good to see, again, just to see where that level's at. Like, obviously, Gus is...
Yeah.
He put in a good showing, and Mason over here as well. So it would have been good to see Strangy get amongst them as well, for sure.
Yep, mate. And but I know it was late to the party, but Mason winning Hatter, and then Gus finishing. He finished fourth on a 350. Is that right?
Yeah, he was. From what I understand, he was on a 350. Yeah, and he didn't prologue that well. So I think he was 14th in the prologue. So, like, it's not, I guess, a massive deficit, but at that level, you know what those guys ride. Like, the gap, like, I was there, and the gap on the first lap, Simo, Cal, and Mason, like, they had minutes, man, minutes on the next bunch, just in one lap. So,
that's crazy.
And Gus had to come from 14th. So, that it's difficult to make that time up on that track at the end of the race when the track's blown out.
And underpowered, like, that is a horsepower track. If you're telling me it's not.
Yeah. It is, but a 350 is, like, they go pretty hard, man. Like,
yeah.
Definitely got more mumbo than a 250. Obviously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, yeah.
Mate, well, we saw... Sorry, mate, I spoke over the top of you, then you punch me in the head.
No, I was going to say, it was a solid ride to come from 14.
Solid ride. Cool. And then a really deserving win at the GNCC round.
Yeah, totally.
He showed everyone what it takes.
Well, again, him and Sammy P were last to the first corner off the start. Like, both of their bikes didn't fire off the start, so they were both... last, and Gussie come through in P1 about three quarters of the way through the first lap. And it looked like he put down a couple of heaters, and then he just sort of settled in and rode it in. Like, he was doing no footers and look backs and heel clickers and shit on the tabletops. Well, you're still having a crack, don't get me wrong, but once he laid down a few fast laps at the start of the race, it looked like, and he put that gap, like he got it out to about a 2.5, 3 minute gap, and then he just managed the gap and rode it in.
Sick track. If anyone listening hasn't had a look and seen some of the photos or the vision, bloody make it happen. Where can they see the vision, mate?
It's on 7 Plus, the highlights now. So you can just search on the 7 Plus app. You can just search GNCC.
Have a look at it. Sick track. Like, awesome track. And I don't know anyone that wouldn't want to ride that.
It is. It's pretty cool. It's cool because it's got a bit of everything too. Like, it's got that fast stuff that Hatter has, but only in like small amounts. But then it's got tight stuff too with rocks and then obviously like a cool motocross track as well. So pretty cool.
Yeah, right. Yeah, mate, that's the essence of off-road, isn't it? You get a bit of everything and you got to deal with what's in front of you. You can only ride the track in front of you. And if that track's got a bit of everything, it's a bloody good indicator of who the best guy is when he wins.
Exactly, yeah. Well, that's why I guess my definition of cross-country racing is like you're racing across the country, so there's going to be different terrain. Like you're racing across everything. It can change. It was a fast, sandy track, but it also had some shit in there that was quite technical and challenging in other ways as well.
Yep. Mate, what was the difference for the listeners between that and Hatter? What makes the GNCC unique?
I think the biggest is there's segregation in the classes. So obviously the racing format is similar to Hatter. It's cross country racing. It's a mass start. We don't have a prologue at GNCC, so you just line up in your classes. They drop the flag, dead engine start, and you take off it in a mass formation. But the biggest difference would be that there's classes for your level of ability. So like if you went and raced Hatter, like you've got to, like you could go in the over 35s now, but if you're under 35 at Hatter, like and you ride a 450, like you're racing Mason Simmons. So there's no, if you're just an average dude that's doing it for the first time, you got to race the best guys. And I honestly think that's a really cool thing about our sport. And that's something that I love about our sport, that you can do that at events like Hatter. Like you can go and buy a 450 and race the fastest dude in the world, which is pretty rad. But at GNCC, we have a clubman race, and then we have expert and pro classes. So you can go and race your guys that are similar ability to you and have a chance of coming away from the weekend with a trophy and a prize.
Yep, and the duration of the race is different?
For the pros and expert, it's 3 hours. So it's an hour less than Hatter. That's sort of standard anywhere, like cross-country, AORCs, VORCs, is 3 hours for pros and expert, 2 hours for clubmen.
Yeah, cool. Cool, mate. Hey, probably got to start wrapping this up. Just a couple of quick questions. So there's some controversy surrounding motocross racer Jesse Dobson at the moment. Sorts of rumours. Yeah, what do you got?
I've got nothing, man. I honestly do not know. I've only seen what has been posted up on social media. So I'm not privy to any information. Honestly, it would blow my freaking mind if he had knowingly taken a performance enhancing supplement. I'd be flabbergasted if he had knowingly done that.
Well, he's openly said that he's being investigated. And you can only assume that he's done something pretty wild off the track. It like some sort of action off the track that's I don't know, or he's returned a test on race day or whatever, and it's shown up, it's red flagged that there's something in his system that isn't allowed. Who knows? But pretty crazy for that to happen in this sport. I mean, I know it's happened before, but as a performance coach, why would someone if, not saying he has, not at all, but if someone was looking to do that, why? What would you take even? Like, is he going to do a Lance and just start banging down the EPO and bloody, yeah. I don't know what?
Well, I think they're probably the most common ones that would be, man, would just be hormone, like getting your testosterone and your growth hormone up. It just means you can recover. Like, everyone can only tolerate a certain amount of volume, training volume, before you start to break down and need more rest days. So I guess that's the allure to it. Potentially, like, can fast-track injury rehab, like if they've had an injury. Like, I know he had a pretty tough go last year with injuries. Like, I think he's dislocated his shoulder multiple times and then ended up having to have a surgery on it. So who knows? Like, it can be an allure for some people to speed up the healing process after an injury.
Look at Warnie. He took a diuretic to try and shed a few kilos, apparently, when he was playing cricket. Not to ask anything else, allegedly.
Yeah. I don't know what he took. He ended up in a bad way. But yeah, poor old Warnie. Who knows?
Yep.
I don't know, man. Like, to me, it's like, I feel like those guys work so hard to get to where they get that they, like, at least I know any, like, my clients that are at that level, they're, like, worried about taking, like, if I suggest them to take, like, a, like, not a whey protein, but just even, like, a normal, like, a magnesium or something like this, they're, like, checking what's in it because they're worried that,
right,
it's got some ingredient in it that's on the banned list, they could get pinged. Like, so they're, like, super aware of not taking anything that could put them at jeopardy for that sort of thing. So that's what I mean. I'd be flabbergasted if he had knowingly taken a performance enhancing I don't know, but
substance.
I could be wrong. Who knows?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, well, watch this space. All right, mate. Still plenty of really cool racing coming up for the rest of the year. Let's check back in and dissect some of this stuff a bit further down the track.
Yeah, totally, man. We've still got a couple of rounds at AORC and the motocross designation. So there'll be some cool stuff to talk about after those rounds. Yeah.
Showing your age there, man. Motocross designations.
Sorry, the MX.
And it is in France this year.
We're old school.
Old school. All right, mate. Thanks for the chat. It's been rad.
Thanks, man. Good to have you on.
You.